Colossians 3. Thank you for being faithful and coming. This is a great crowd. More are coming in. Great crowd for Thanksgiving service on Thursday morning. A lot of you had a lot to do today, and some of you I know are going to be traveling places and things. Others wanted to watch football this morning, but they came to church anyway, and all that's good. And God's good to us with faithful people. Colossians 3, and I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, "Put on, beloved, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another." That's a good phrase right there on Thanksgiving. Because you'll be with family, and there's always someone at a family get-together who's irritating, isn't there? There's always someone who just wants to talk about the things you want to talk about or whatever. And it says forbearing one another. That word forbearing is a great word. It literally means putting up with. There's some people you just say, you know what, they're going to drive me crazy, and I'm just going to not say anything and just endure it. Forbearing one another. And you don't have to express everything. And at every situation, you just learn to be patient and don't have to say anything. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. So a very high standard. You're supposed to forgive others as Christ forgave you. Well, Christ forgave you, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. And so you're supposed to forgive others even as Christ forgave you. And that's amazing. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. So we're supposed to put on some things. This whole passage, starting way back in verse 8, talks about putting on things like clothing and putting off certain things. And you're supposed to put on, in verse 12, mercy, kindness, and humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So you wear it as part of you. It's abundant. It's like you're wearing it. You have so much humbleness and mercy and kindness. In other words, I think you can do a kind act, and I think that's good and important. But when you put on kindness, it permeates from you. People see it when they see you. You're a kind person. And I would like to be more like that. I don't know if I come across like that. I do know people in this room who people look at you and think you're just such a nice person and so kind. And that's the way all of us should strive to be, is wearing bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And then above all those things, in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is love. And that's when you're a complete Christian, you put on love and you just wear love. You love people and you love God and it is emanating from you and you're putting it on. You are full of love for everybody and you always have love. In verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. And here's where I want to focus today. And be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, and I pray as our Heavenly Father cares about us, you'd give us what we need to be thankful. Give us wisdom, bless this short service, and may we hear from you. May we be changed, may we grow in this area, and may we understand being a thankful person in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a difference between giving thanks and being thankful. Most people under some circumstance, you can get them to say thanks. There's ungrateful people we would call ungrateful. And you know what I mean by an ungrateful person? It's a person who doesn't appreciate what they have. It's a person who likes to gripe all the time. An ungrateful person, even an ungrateful person, you could get them to say thanks. If I gave them a new car, or I paid off their house, or I saved their life, even an ungrateful person would probably say thanks. Giving thanks is big in the Bible. It's big to do to God, of course. The book of Psalms is basically, "Thank you, Lord." A lot of it, and giving praise to God and giving thanks to God. And the song we just sang is out of Psalms, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart." Thankfulness and giving thanks is very important. And we ought to do that both to God and to man. The Bible is very much about thanking people, and people in the Bible made sure they showed their appreciation and thanked people for doing good things to them. Paul was an example of that. And devoted chapters of the Bible to thanking people. And I think that's good to do. And we ought to thank people for being good to you. I think you ought to write people and say thank you. I think that people who've been good to you should get a thank you note from you. And you should say thank you. And I think that many people, because they haven't learned to be thankful, as we'll teach in a moment here, don't realize how far that goes. There's a lot of people that you should be thankful to that most people who haven't learned how to be thankful don't realize that. thankfulness, it doesn't say, and give thanks. If you look at the word in there, it says, and be ye thankful. My wife was the one who really taught me this. My wife was always a very thankful person, and I don't know exactly where she even learned it, actually. Maybe her grandma, they just passed away, I'm not sure. But she learned how to, the half cup full thing. And I was never taught to be thankful. I never was thankful. I was kind of a griper. And I was kind of known for that. And I kind of found the negative, and my family's kind of like that. They kind of like they're very comfortable in griping. Their favorite comic strip was Garfield, because they love to gripe like Garfield, and they laugh about that stuff all day long, and just kind of the way they thought was, there was always something that's wrong with this, and they thought it was funny to gripe, and of course I had that, and then my wife, I realized she's a thankful person. Not that she gives thanks, but a thankful person is, it goes beyond that. They are thankful. It is who you are. It's a state of mind, not something you do. Giving thanks is what you do, but that's a result of being a thankful person. But being a thankful person does more than just give thanks, and a thankful person gives thanks way more because they are thankful in general. I've learned over the years somewhat to have this state of mind and try to teach it to my kids, and I think I've raised pretty thankful kids with my wife's help, certainly, probably more her than me. This takes effort to be thankful because, one, your TV teaches you to gripe. And the radio teaches the gripe, and the music we listen to teaches us to gripe. You don't hear a lot of songs that sing about how wonderful things are. You don't hear a lot of songs about that in pop culture or anywhere else. It sounds crazy, but actually, if you went back to the 70s music, you would hear love songs that praise how wonderful the girl was in the 70s. If you listen to rap music and talk about the girl, it's not doing that. Because the whole culture has learned to gripe and learned to criticize and learned to be negative. And we learn to do that, and we don't know how to be thankful. And really, the people in the history of the entire world who ought to be thankful are probably the biggest gripers. Everywhere I go in the world, they gripe less than Americans. And you understand, you live better than a king did 500 years ago. A king did not have clean water and running water and hot water for his bath. they didn't have a stove. Ours is on the fritz this morning on Thanksgiving, of course. But he did not have a stove. And, you know, so many things you have. He did not have a car. Do you know your worst car was better than the greatest king's carriage? If it ran. I've had some cars, but you know, it's amazing. I had a car one time, and it was such a bad car. I think it was an 83, some kind of Ford. No, it was a Chevy, it was a Caprice, and it was a boat, and it was a diesel. And the diesel cars were terrible back then. They figured out how to make them now, but the American-made cars, they actually converted a gasoline engine to a diesel, and it didn't work. They got to make a diesel from the start. And they were terrible cars. And then the exhaust blew out in it. It blew out from the engine. It just popped out. I didn't have any money to fix it. So you talk about loud, have a diesel car, a V8 car, with going straight out of the engine, the exhaust. It was so loud. It sounded so terrible. And then winter came on. And you try starting a diesel when it's 10 below zero. And it is not pretty. And I had nowhere to plug it in. Oh, that poor car, the heater core went out in it. And it went out the week when it got below 10 below zero. And I had to drive to Chicago. And I was in my Bible college, I was at, it required you to wear dress clothes. And so I had to have dress shoes on, and try keeping your feet warm in dress shoes when it's 10 below zero and they're walking around in the snow. It's hard to do. After you wear so many pairs of socks, it cuts off your circulation and it's not warming anymore. And you know what? My wife went up with me, and we drove up there to visit the bus route. It's probably 10, 12 below zero. It was freezing. And visit the bus route on Saturday without, and on my feet, after a while, it doesn't hurt anymore. And that's a good thing because they're numb, sort of. And we were so cold, and yet she never griped. and never complained, and realized, you know what, I can get to Chicago and visit those bus kids who need me to visit me today. And I had a car to get there, and we just said, you know what, I got a car. We had 3 months, we didn't have a car. And boy, when you get a junker, seems wonderful when you don't have a car. And I've had some junkers, but you know what, after I didn't have a car, I appreciated all of them, as long as they ran. And still to this day, if I have a car that runs, I'm not necessarily saying this is the greatest car in the world, but I'll say, man, I'm glad I got a car that runs and gets me point A to point B. Because learn to be thankful. You can notice what's wrong with your car, or you can notice your car runs. And a thankful person is a state of mind. And what it takes, first of all, effort to be thankful. You got to stop. The first effort it takes is stop and noticing the good. Can I tell you right now, I guarantee you have reason to gripe today. And you have reason to be thankful today. That's right. You have both. I have both. I have things right now that if I want to focus on, I'm ungrateful. And if I have things, if I want to focus on good things, I got a lot of blessings. Everyone in this room, how many of you have something in your body that aches or doesn't feel good or kind of is a pain? It's just there. You just have things. Look around. Now, you've met people in your life that all they do is focus on their pains. And you have people in your life who would never know they're in pain. And you may have met the old guy, oh, must be changed, and I got this old knee and my ankle and my hip too, and then my back, and every time I reach to scratch my back, my shoulder pops out, and I gotta, you know, I mean, they just gripe and gripe and gripe, and they just gotta tell you every little ache and pain they have. And you know what? We joke about that, and I understand that it's funny sometimes, and you know what? When the weather changes, I know in my leg. Maybe that means I'm getting old, but I got an injury there that tells me about it. And back when I was in World War II. But another person, they don't gripe about it. They say, you know what? One person says, you know what? I can see and walk and talk and get around pretty good. I got a few aches and pains, but overall my health's pretty good. That's a thankful person. A griping person always is about to die. And everything's wrong with their body, and boy, it's the stupid doctor and this and that. Do you know how good a health care we got in America? I can't believe. I mean, I go to the hospital and everyone is griping. Do you know what a hospital? I had a friend, he took a mission trip to Honduras. He was in the medical field and he'd been used to the American medical system. And he went to the hospital and people were bleeding and dying. But people who were worse bleeding and dying were in front of them. And he watched a truck pulled up, a big, like a dump truck, and a guy had been in a car wreck and had just smashed his head in the car wreck severely. And they're taking him out of this dump truck. There's no ambulance to take him in. And he's watching this going, I can't believe that. The guy's got a major head trauma, and they're just carrying him out of the dump truck. And on the way out, it's a big, high truck. On the way out of climbing out, they knock his head on the metal step, bonk, bonk, all the way down the steps, carrying this guy out. And then they carry him to the hospital, and they run at the front and say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they said, point to the seats over there, go sit down. Because the line is bigger in front of him. And he said, I used to think we had all kinds of problems with the healthcare system. He said, I began to pray, God, don't let me get hurt here. And honestly, we can gripe and we can complain, but a thankful person says, you know, and especially us in Seattle, you know what incredible hospitals we have here? You got Swedish, you got Harborview, you've got incredible hospitals that people come from around the world to go to. And yet we gripe. You know how clean these things are, how many gadgets and things and tests, and you know what? They're not perfect. And we can gripe about it. You know what? They missed a test. Or, oh, I didn't get in fast enough. I waited in the emergency room for 3 hours. And you know what? None of us like that, do it. But we can gripe or be thankful. Everyone has a reason with our health, with our life, with everything that happens in life, with your status right now. You can say about the place you live. You can probably say, you know what? I should have something much nicer than this, and I'd like a lot. And I understand that. You know what? I've thought before as I go in the poor areas and look around and see how people live and see the poverty and the crime and the loudness and the music blaring and everything. I say, man, God, I'm so thankful. I would hate to live here again. I've lived in poor areas, but I don't want to live there again. I understand somebody not wanting to be in a bad area, in a rough area or in a little apartment. And I remember being in a 675 square foot apartment with three kids and a wife. I remember that. And you know what? I understand some places are not exactly what you'd like. And you could say, look at this, it's too small, and look at this neighborhood, or look at this, or my stuff gets broken into, or, and understand all that. Or you can also look at the other way and say, I got a roof over my head. And I've got running water, and I've got a heater. And if you did not have a heater and you were outside last night, you would have been thankful for the place you live in. You would have, if you've ever been out stuck outside in the cold all night, you'll find out that a roof over your head is really nice of any kind. And so, in other words, you can it takes stopping and noticing things. Instead of noticing how bad your health is, noticing how good your health is. You can see. You can hear. You can walk. You're not blind. You're not crippled. You're not in a wheelchair. In other words, you stop for a minute and just say, these are good things. Because the devil and our natural mind sometimes has a tendency to go toward the negative. One thing's wrong, so everything's wrong. And you know, it's an amazing thing. When one thing is wrong in your life, you think everything's terrible. When there's 50 right things. It takes effort. You got to stop and you got to notice the good. This holiday ever started is an amazing thing. It's truly amazing because the people who started it, the pilgrims, came here and in 1620 they landed in the winter of 1621. In that winter, December, January, February, March, half of them died. Half of them, over half. Out of them, they died of starvation. They died of scurvy. They froze to death. And then the conditions on the ship, even the captain of the ship died on the way, just going on the way there. Four of them died on the way there. Of 18 women who came, 14 of them died the first winter. Imagine that. You have 18 women there to start the whole new world, and 14 of them died the first winter. They probably died. There is a lot lower mortality rate of the children. They probably died, they think, just by looking at the numbers, that they probably were not taking the little bit of food they had and giving it to their kids. And the mothers just got too weak because they starved to death, giving their kids their food. of the children, a large number of the children died. 10 children died. Their ages were 4, 7, 8. They were all kinds of ages. There was a newborn who died in the ship. An amazing number of children died. And then a good amount of the men died also. That was the first year. They had to go. They didn't know what the Indians would be like. They thought they might try to kill them. And so they were afraid to go and let the Indians know that they were dying. And their numbers were depleted. So they would go out at night and bury the dead. And then they'd make a fake cornfield on top of their graves so that the Indians wouldn't attack them, thinking a lot of them had died. They wanted to think their numbers were still big, so they never had a daytime regular funeral to bury anybody. And they were weak. It was very hard for them to dig the hole to bury them. And it was a very cold winter. They got one of the coldest winters in the history of America that year, their first year. And they were dying, and their children are dying. I believe it was 4 entire families are wiped out. The nobody in the family lived. And they were there for God. You read the Mayflower Compact, they were very, very spiritual people. And they were not coming there because they wanted to be prosperous or make $1 million. They were coming there to serve God. And this happened their first winter. They had to bury them, all these people. So many people died. All their friends and their close relatives were dying around them. Over half of them died in the first winter. We're not talking over a 10-year period. And yet, they get through that winter. Along comes a miracle, and you talk about a strange and an unexplainable thing that the world would have, an unbeliever would have a hard time explaining to a Squanto. Here they are. Of all the places in the entire East Coast, they land at Plymouth Rock. and then all of a sudden, here comes up an English-speaking Indian. Now, you understand, there was no settlements. There was no American cities. There was no American village. There was nothing. They were the only English-speaking people on the continent. And of all the crazy things, an English-speaking Indian walks into their city. He had been a man who met a group who came there before for trade. And he met them, and he's very proficient at language. And the group in the ship said, let us use you to translate. And they used him to translate and learn English and spoke with different Indians. Then he took him back to England. And he lived in England for 2 years. went back to America for a little while. What was America? Then he ended up being captured and taken and became a slave and was sold into slavery. He was with some people from Spain there in slavery, and eventually he got his way free, got back to England, became a servant there for 2 years. Overall, he's gone 12 years total. Ended up working hard enough as a servant and made a deal with the captain, said, "Can you take me back to America? I want to go back to my people." Went back to America, helping this captain with several things to translate him. Lands in America, go back to his tribe, and his tribe's wiped out. There's none of them left. All of them have died. So he goes and finds a different tribe who was friendly toward him and met them, Wemapeg Indians. And of anywhere, he finds this one tribe, he's with them, and all of a sudden one of them comes back and says, "There are some white people who are on the shore over there, and they're speaking English." One of the Indians had somewhere met an English-speaking person who couldn't speak it well, but he went to the city and started talking to them and said, "It's English you're speaking." Now, he could have landed in Florida. He could have landed in South Carolina. Squanto could have. He could have landed in Maine. He could have found a tribe a mile inland. But he found this tribe right where the pilgrims landed, and he spoke English. And he walked in, and he said, "You guys are going to die. You're doing everything wrong." And they said, "Well, we could use the help." And the Indians came in, and then they helped them and trained them how to plant the corn and how to do different things. What a miracle. The one English-speaking person on the continent is right next door and comes to their village on the entire continent. And they landed there, and he came there. And he helped them. And the tribe was peaceful. And they came out, and after that winter, they survived. And they said, "You know what? We made it. Now we know how to survive it. Now we know how to plant things. Now, and look at this. Now we've got enough food. We've got blessings. And we made it through this terrible winter. We know how to build the buildings. We know how to grow things. We're going to make it. Let's have a huge feast and thank God for this. And invite the Indians who helped us and tell them about God and thank God for this." And they had that Thanksgiving. Now, wait a minute. That's first Thanksgiving was coming out of that winter. And they had enough and they had plenteousness. Wait a minute. They had to have been focused on something special because most people would not be very thankful. They could have said, "Let's have miserable day." Because half of our people died, and 4 families are wiped out, and 10 children, and 14 of the 18 women, and we all starved, and had scurvy and disease go through this thing, and all this stuff bad happened. Let's be mad and miserable and gripe. But they had Thanksgiving. Because they knew how to stop and look around and say, "You know what? We are going to make it now, and look how much we have now. And we've got food, and the Indians went hunting also. And they had a lot of corn, and the Indians went and bought a bunch of deer, and they had a big, huge feast. Because they focused. They took time to notice the good things. They took time to notice. It takes a stop and notice good if you want to be a thankful person instead of just giving thanks occasionally. Number two, notice what is right. Notice what is right instead of notice what is wrong. I was somewhere with Timmy the other day, and we got delayed. And Timmy said, "Well, I wonder why God kept us from going. I wonder if something bad would have happened if it would have been later or if it would have been earlier." If you're not careful, a thankful person will always notice the bright side of things. "Well, the car broke down, but at least we're in a safe place where it broke down." Now, that's not usually most of our reactions, isn't it? Is it? But a thankful person, they will point out what's right, and they'll notice what's good, and they'll notice what's great, and they will not only give thanks for it, but if you're not a thankful person, if they don't know how to do it, will drive you crazy. Because you want to gripe and complain, you want to be miserable sometimes. And you know what the truth is? You're supposed to weep with those that weep. And sometimes, even a thankful person, the first thing you say is not, "Well, it could have been worse. All your kids could have died instead of one." That's not what you do. You understand and you weep with those who weep. And you don't always bring up the thankful things. That's later on. But a thankful person is that they always notice the bright side. They can be almost irritating because they always do find what's good and positive. Now, you can do that and not be irritating about it with other people. And people are sad, say, "Man, that is tough. Boy, I feel terrible for you." And do that. But a thankful person just automatically goes to the right thinking. Their mind goes this way instead of this way. "Well, I'm glad the car lasted so long." I'm in that mode right now. My car has lasted way longer than I thought it would. And I could gripe about my car right now, but I can't believe it's lasted this long. And it keeps just degenerating slowly. But you know what? As long as it's running, I'm driving it. And I have had some cars that didn't go when I pushed the gas pedal, and I always had to keep a foot in the gas pedal or die at the intersection. I've had all those things, and I, you know what? I can notice the things wrong with my car, and you can notice things wrong. But you can also be the person who is thankful and knows what's right. Number three, you fill your heart with appreciation. With me, the way you can do this many ways, depends on who you are. If you're a person who's had terrible times, you fill your heart with appreciation. Like I said, if you've been homeless, you'll appreciate your housing. If you've not had a car, you usually appreciate your car. If you lost your health, you appreciate your health. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just see how people have it around the world, and that always makes me appreciate. I go to Children's Hospital and visit somebody, and I come back, my kids aren't so bad. I mean, I went and visited Sendo yesterday and saw probably a 12-year-old girl, and I don't know what was wrong with her and what happened to her, but she was with a walker, and something was wrong with her brain, and it was pretty messed up. And Sando, and then another person there was totally a vegetable. And I just, you know, I see how other people had it and how bad it can be, and I just learned to be appreciative every day when things are okay. I might face that someday. So right now, I'm going to enjoy it and be thankful that I don't right now. When you fill your heart with appreciation, say, I am glad that I can have food today. And realize some people today will struggle and they'll get just enough to get by. And some people will eat some stuff that's really nasty today because they have to. And some people today will die of starvation. And it makes me fill my heart with appreciation. I am so blessed, and why would I gripe? And fill your heart with really the good things and the things that are right and the good things about your life and health and situation, and you're saved. And God loves you, and you have a Bible. And you have a church that preaches the Bible, and you can worship freely without the government taking you away to jail. And there's so many things you can focus on instead of going the wrong way. Fill your heart with true appreciation. And then last of all, you verbalize and show the appreciation. Let me take it to Ephesians. It's just a couple of verses before this. You verbalize it. You be ye thankful, and then you verbalize it. I think it's important you verbalize it. It changes you. I don't understand this. I don't know if I understand the reasoning behind it. But the act of you saying the things and saying thank you and saying praise God and saying this is so good changes the whole atmosphere of you and around you. There's something about saying it, not just thinking it. I think you got to be thankful, but I think you got to say something. You know what? I am so grateful today that this happened. I am so glad that I have a job. I know everybody at work gripes about their job. But right now, there's a lot of people who take that job they're griping about. And that's just the truth about it. And so verbalizing it makes God happy because you say it. And it comes out of your mouth. And there's a lot of verses we could read in Psalms about that, but let the redeemed of the Lord say so in other ones. But Ephesians 5 and verse 14. You know what? I think I have the wrong verse written down there. That is the wrong verse. It's Ephesians. I got it written down somewhere else. Let me find it real quick. I got the wrong verse written down. It is. where do I got it written down? Somewhere in all my notes, I have it written down. Right. look. That is a good verse, but that's not the one I'm looking for. That's a good verse. I'm going to have to read that one. But I can't find it. I thought I had it written down in here in the right spot. Ephesians. Well, we'll read verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse I'm looking for, and that's a good verse there. But the verse says, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically what it says, you know, instead of murmuring, it says giving thanks for all things in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's basically a verse that says, don't gripe about these things. Be thankful for these things. And I think it might be Ephesians 4. I might have the wrong verse written down. But it says don't gripe about things, but be thankful for the things that you have. In other words, you verbalize it and you show your appreciation and you don't gripe about these things and you're thankful for them. I think when you say, like Paul did to his friends, when you say to somebody, Thank you. And if I go back to where I started way earlier, I said there's a lot more things to appreciate than you think should be appreciated. I learned this with my family. As you know, I grew up in a pretty rough home, and my dad wasn't there. And then my mom, she was there, but she was working very hard to support us. She worked hard, and she was a 911 dispatcher, and she worked long hours and weird hours, midnights, day and nights. And so most of my life, my mom, because she's usually working swing shift or midnights, most of my life, I did not see her awake. And so she didn't raise me. She didn't cook for me. She didn't clean for me. She didn't wash my clothes. She didn't do any of that stuff for me. And I was getting the world's idea from the world psychologist says, gripe about everything and you're a victim and your life's terrible because someone did something wrong to you and you're going to be terrible the rest of your life. And I kind of a little bit, but not much, got that. But I didn't appreciate it at all. When I became a Christian and I learned to be thankful, and I learned be thankful, you know what I did? I wrote my mom and thanked her for working so hard. There was a lot of things. You say, man, that's terrible. You didn't have anybody raise you. Wait a minute. I work with a lot worse than what I went through. My mom was not a drug addict. My mom was not bringing abusive men in the house. My mom was not being lazy and I had to live in the projects because she lived off welfare and wouldn't work. There was a lot of things she did right. Now, I don't bring up, Mom, why weren't you there for me? What a stupid thing to do. I had a roof over my head and food in my stomach my whole childhood. And was everything right? No. Do I need to focus on that? No. She wasn't a Christian. And boy, you don't think that softened your heart when all of a sudden I became a Christian instead of saying, what's wrong with you, stinking wicked woman? I write a note and say, you know, Mom, I never really realized how hard you must have worked to feed us and our kids. Thank you so much for being such a hard worker. See, when you're a thankful person, you look at it that way. When you're an unthankful person, all you can do is find the faults in your husband, your children, your wife. Man, every time I go to the store and see the brat screaming for candy and, I say, man, I'm glad I don't have kids like that. Now, part of that's because we did the right thing and those parents didn't. But I want to say this. Once you're a thankful person, you realize there's a lot more to be thankful for than what you think. And the person who gripes about the people in their life, you're going to find everybody has faults. But you can also have thankful thinking and say, you know what? He might not be the best provider, but you know what? He's not beating me. And you know what? He doesn't, you know, he's not a criminal. She might not, you know, be doing everything just right. She might not be the best cook, but you know what? She isn't going and disappearing on a drug binge for 4 days, which we see. And by the way, now moms don't come home to their kids. They leave their kids, they're on their binge, and they don't care. It's pretty scary out there. And you can be a person and realize there's a lot more things you have going that are good. You can be thankful for when you learn, be ye thankful. And everything is not perfect, and no, your body is not perfect, and no, your situation is not perfect, no, your finances aren't perfect, and no, your family and your upbringing. There's lots of things that aren't perfect right now and weren't perfect, but you can go and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And your country's not perfect, but it's pretty good. You're pretty free and got a lot of prosperity. We got an obesity problem among the poor people. Hey, a lot of people don't have that right there. We have to work to lose weight. That means we're pretty blessed. There's a lot of people who are looking for enough calories today around the world. And we are going to eat enough for 20 of them today. Be thankful. Change the way you think. Be ye thankful. And fill your heart with gratitude. Then just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for blessing me in so many ways. I appreciate it, God. And you be thankful, and God will bless you for that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to be thankful. Thank you that we can be thankful people. We thank you for people who shared some things today, Lord, about what they're thankful for. Lord, it's good, and it's blessed, Lord. We're so thankful for all you've done. Lord, help our mind state to change and help us today to really understand the purpose of this holiday, Lord, and be thankful people. In Jesus' name.